Blog Talk Radio.
People tell me that when they hear the show and the way that I come across in the morning, it's like I'm having the most wonderful day possible. And, you know, I am. It's a choice. You see, no matter what's going on, your dear Professor Applewhite, that's me, chooses to have a good day. And so that's a sense of empowerment, self-empowerment. And that's what I'd like to give you, is the acknowledgement that you have a choice to change your attitude. Yes, you do. Now, I know many of you may say, no, I don't. There's so many things happening in my life. How can I change my attitude? Especially if you are among the unemployed or underemployed. And that's pretty hard to do, is to push that positive attitude out there every day of the week. That means 24/7, and hopefully not 365 days that you've been unemployed, but there are a lot of people out there who have been certainly underemployed for that amount of time. I wanted to talk to you this morning about not just the statistics about underemployed or, you know, unemployed. I wanted to talk to you about your attitude about it too. You know, what is your attitude? And, you know, attitude, they say attitude is everything. And I used to question that. What do you mean attitude is everything? You know, it's not everything. Sometimes it's just things just get you so down that your attitude, it's hard to pull up a positive attitude. So we're going to address that this morning with our listeners out there. We're so happy to know we've got another increase in listeners out there. My goodness, you guys are just surprising me, and I'm happy that the message is getting out through word of mouth, because I don't have the resources or time to really promote the show, but evidently people are talking and chirping about what's going on the student to teacher to student internet radio show. And we're proud of that the mission of White Apple Institute is being promoted. And that mission is so extremely important. I hope that you are aware of our mission. If you're not, please feel free to visit us at whiteappleinstitute.org so that you can get on board and find out what this show is really about, because we're really promoting the idea of people coming away from those labels. And we're going to do a series of shows coming up, as a matter of fact, about, I think it's three separate shows about labels. And it's not just labels that we're talking about. We offer spiritual and physical consultations about accommodations and rehabilitation. We also offer some financial assistance. It's not a lot, but, you know, every little bit helps. Sometimes people get stuck with just trying to find a way to buy a book or to get a coat so that they can go to school. And so some of the money that is generated through memberships with White Apple Institute helps us to keep a little fun going for some of our loyal listeners and students of White Apple Institute out there, no matter where they're located. We have students that contact us from Nigeria, China, Egypt, Canada, and we're very, very proud to know that the show is reaching to different parts of the world. We are based in Arizona, sunny, sunny Arizona. Even in October, my grandsons and I were in the pool the other day. I know some of you that are already buttoning up your coats are probably saying, oh my goodness, how can you be in a pool in mid-October? But this is Arizona, and that's what we do here. Well, we suffer some summers, though. We definitely suffer some summers, without any question. Our chat line is open also, so feel free, for those of you who do not wish to come on live on the show, and type in a message for us about your feelings about the underemployed this morning, or unemployed. But, you know, we're trying to focus on something that's not talked about a lot. And, you know, people that are working in jobs that are way, way under their potential. They go to school, they work very hard to get a degree or get some kind of certification, skills or whatever, and they land up with jobs that they would have been able to obtain with a GED or high school diploma, and they get pretty upset about that. So we're trying to focus on them. And another focus is on people with disabilities that fall into that category. And, you know, we're very, very careful not to buy into the term disabled, but we have to recognize it is the term used out there to identify people who have expressed some different abilities, okay, different ways of getting the job done, okay? So because of that, we use the word disability because it's a common term. Everybody is familiar with that. And we have a caller online. Looks like a familiar number here. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria.
Professor Applewhite. Oh, wow, it's good to hear from you. Hi, I was just thinking about you this morning. I know your voice. Hi.
How are you, Mrs. Al?
Good. This is Maria, right?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. It's good to hear from you. I know you check in on the show every once in a while, and I really appreciate your efforts to do that. I don't know if you heard me a moment ago, but I was just talking about, you know, not buying into that label of disabled and, you know, the underemployed. There's a big, big, there are a large amount of people out there that are not working in the jobs that they are trained for and skilled for. But most importantly, Maria, what I found, and I was doing some research, is that they don't have a lot of figures, a lot of facts out there about people with disabilities being underemployed. You know, even unemployed. It's really funny. When you go into the internet to even find out, you know, like what's going on with people with disabilities mm-hmm. and jobs, do you know mm-hmm. that there's not a lot out there at all? It's almost as if they're saying, just like this guy said to me this the other day, he said, I said, what do you do? And he said, I'm disabled. And, you know, I wanted to say, so, you know, I mean, you know, like, that doesn't mean that you don't do anything, you know,
right.
But I bit my tongue and And I thought about you for a moment because I remember you telling me that you're trying to get your own little business off the ground of doing, I guess I can mention the name. I guess I can say Tupperware.
Yeah.
And anybody interested in giving a Tupperware party, make sure you contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org. Send us a message that you would like to get in touch with Maria and help her build her business. And I'll let Maria come back on a little later and tell you how she's doing with that and a little bit about her own challenges to build her business, being that there are a lot of people that probably would put her in a category of she's disabled, she's not doing anything, but that's not true. She's a go-getter. So let's go ahead and talk about the show this morning, and I'll come back to you, Maria, a little later on. But this morning's show, it's part two of two, tips for the unemployed and underemployed. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is we're going to review that 5P formula for success that I happened to sneak on you last week, but I didn't get a chance to expound the way that I wanted to about using the 5P formula for success to minimize your stress and give out some really helpful resources during what we're calling the down times for those unemployed or underemployed from their chosen career or job. You know, there are not many statistics to show the true number of underemployed persons or those working in jobs that do not match their qualifications or pay according to their skills, okay? So that's what you have to take into consideration when you look at underemployed. It's not about somebody just saying, I don't make enough money, okay? That's not what underemployed is, because I think that all of us could probably stomp our feet about that. It's really about that you go to school and you prepare, or you know, and not necessarily college, but any type of post high school training, and you learn a skill or you become educated in a certain area, and they tell you this is the general salary that you're supposed to get in this field. Say, for instance, let's make up something real quickly, like for a receptionist with computer skills, you should at least be making about $24,000 a year, okay, which is about $2,000 a month minus taxes, okay? So now you get out of school and you've worked hard, you've got all these great computer skills and customer service skills, and you go and you look for a job, and you land up with a job that pays you maybe $1,600 or $800 every 2 weeks, and that's $1,600 minus taxes. And so then you land up, because you budgeted for this great job you're going to have, and now you land up short. So not only do you work this job that's paying you less, but then you have to pick up an extra job, in order to make ends meet at home. That is truly the best definition I can give you of an underemployed person, And I tell you, I ran into a video clip. You know, they have, you know about YouTube? You ever heard of YouTube?
Yes.
Well, YouTube is like it's a video that people can send in videos of themselves talking about different things, okay? Mm-hmm. And this one lady sent in a video clip of herself, and she's like, oh, top-notch Harvard University, Ivy League person who really put a lot of money. That's the reason why, I guess, you know, that it's important for you to know what university she went to, because that university costs a lot of money. So she invested a lot of money and a lot of time in going to school, and that woman is working four different jobs, okay, just to make up the salary that she anticipated making when she was going to school before the recession hit so badly. Now, boy, that word recession, I don't know. They keep throwing that around like, you know, that that's the reason why everybody is unemployed and underemployed, because it's a recession, I mean, it beats you up over the head, doesn't it? It beats you up over the head. I mean, when is a recession going to end? I mean, if we're dependent on the recession ending in order to get out of this underemployment and unemployment crisis, boy, we may be waiting a very, very long time. We've got to do something in the middle of all of this, okay? And that's going to take some genius on all of our parts. And it's going to take sharing resources on all of our parts. We can't just sit around twiddling our thumbs, sending out some resumes online, and hoping and praying that somebody's going to call us because they've seen this great-looking resume. And I want to talk a little bit about that resume in just a moment. It's maintaining, I think, overall, what we have to do in order to beat this thing called recession is to look at our attitude. Our attitude is truly everything. Now, I mentioned that when I first came on the show, and I know, oh, thank you. I have a little chat here, and I appreciate this person's comment. Oh, okay, fine. Just saying good morning, and they're listening to the show. We appreciate that. Let's see what our chat, people that are coming onto our chat have to say about what I'm going to share right now about attitude. Now, mind you, this is the major tip. When I talked about tips for unemployed and underemployed, this is something that even if you are not in that category, please share this show with somebody who is. Ask them to sit down and just listen. Get them a cup of coffee, a cup of tea or something, or call them on the phone and send it to them via email. And say, just listen to the show so that you can get some encouragement about being underemployed or unemployed. So it's not just about those that are listening out there who don't fall into this category, but it's about helping and sharing resources with those who are in this kind of sometimes a slump, okay, a downtime, all right? Attitude is everything. Attitude is the way you think. Your attitude is something other people can actually see. That means employers too. They can hear it in your voice, see it in the way you move, feel it when they are with you. Your attitude expresses itself in everything you do, all the time, wherever you are. Positive attitudes always invite positive results. Negative attitudes always invite negative results. Now, we can take that in a whole lot of different ways. That's not just applicable to being unemployed or underemployed. Negative attitudes always invite negative results. Can go with everything from relationships that we have with others, with our family. It goes into looking at the mirror of in the mirror and looking at yourself and having an attitude, a negative or positive attitude about what you see. Attitude, my friends, makes a difference every hour, every day, in everything that you do for your entire life. What you get out of each thing you do will equal the attitude you have when you do it. Now, get that part now. That's very important. What you get out of each thing you do, just like sending out those resumes, will equal the attitude you have when you do it. So, in other words, we act it out. Whatever we feel, if we're going to say to ourselves, I'll never, ever get a job, I'll never, ever be get the job that I want, if that's your attitude and your feeling tone, then more than likely you are generating that type of energy around you during this downtime. Take advantage of this downtime, and I'll give you some tips on that in a minute. Anything you do with a positive attitude will work for you. Anything that you do with a negative attitude will work against you. If you have a positive attitude, my friends, you are looking for ways to solve, and you are letting go of the things over which you have no control. I got to try that again. If you have a positive attitude, you are looking for ways to solve, and you are letting go of the things over which you have no control. So think about that for a minute. Be part of the solution, not the problem. The problem, yes, okay, we have a problem called recession, okay? Instead of being part of the recession, let's come out of that and become the concession, which is the good stuff. You know, you have a concession stand at the movie theater. That's all the good stuff, okay? So let's look forward to being part of the concession versus the recession. In closure, you can develop a positive attitude by emphasizing the good, by being tough-minded. Come on, get tough. And by refusing defeat. Refuse defeat. Like many people say in some religions, they say, I rebuke the devil. I rebuke the evil. Well, this time I want you to come around to yourself and refuse defeat. Okay? Rebuke that defeat. You will not be defeated because you are a child of God. And a child of God is going to succeed. See, many times we look at success as we measure ourselves up against other people. And that's part of a big part of the underemployment problem, is that unfortunately people measure themselves according to what other people have. So in other words, they may be in a job that is really good for them and has some potential to move upward. You know, even especially if you've been there over a year and it started off as a temporary position and you're still there after a year, maybe you need to look around at that company and see if there's a way for you to move up into other areas. And don't accept it as defeat that you're with the company. I hear many times of people, as a matter of fact, back to that woman who was a Harvard University graduate, she was bagging groceries. And, you can look around at a supermarket and you can see potential to apply your skills. So it's not just that you're underemployed and you're not making the money or not living up to what you thought you would live up to, but it's also about looking at what you have right now, the resources, and starting to move away from that defeat attitude. Move away from the defeat attitude and look at, boy, there might be something here. It's really funny. I remember a story about a woman who was wanted to have a relationship with someone. One moment, I'm going to go ahead and take this caller. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Excuse me.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite. This is Professor Consuelo Astete.
What a
beautiful thing to hear from you today.
Well, it's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
I think you just, excuse me, I think you just had a hello from one of our other loyal listeners here.
Oh, how wonderful. Who is it?
Maria.
Oh, Maria, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Fine. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
I'm good to hear you too.
I was going to share a story about this woman who she was looking for this lover all her life, this great guy, and he was going to sweep her away, okay? And we're talking about attitude now and about looking at the resources that are around you, okay? So that's why I'm bringing up this particular story. And she went everywhere looking for this man, tried online dating, you know, where you put in all your information and you come up with different guys that might be interested in your profile. And she never found, after 10, 15 years, never found this person. She went back home to visit her mom and dad, and the neighbor next door, the son of the neighbor next door, and you probably have heard stories like this over and over again, was there visiting his parents, and they used to play together when they were kids. And they started to go out dating, and she found out this was the guy that she was always looking for. And so, again, the resource was right there in front of her. And she didn't recognize it because she didn't open her eyes to what's really in front of you. And so I was sharing this even with my grandson, who is now bagging groceries at a grocery store and a major food market. And I said to him and his friends, you know, think about the fact that there's a possibility that one day you could own a market like this. And they started to laugh at me for a moment. And I explained to them that this is a resource here. This is a possibility for you to apply some very, very interesting skills that you're going to gain in life, from customer service to marketing to knowing what commodities are, what people need in this world, okay, to understanding the most basic need, which is food, clothing, shelter, all of those things, the basic needs. That's what makes the world go round. And when I started talking to them like this, they were like, So if you are among the underemployed, bringing this back into our show for today, if you're among the underemployed and you're in a situation where you think, oh, this is just a temporary job, there's nothing here for me, I can't wait, you know, I'm only making $10 an hour and I'm supposed to be making $20 an hour, I there's no disagreement with that at all. But look at the fact that the job that you're in paying the $10 an hour may have opportunities for you right before your very eyes that could give you the $20 an hour, okay? Then start applying yourself in those temporary positions, no matter what they may be, from bagging groceries to a janitorial position, okay? Even when we talk about housework, caregivers, janitorial work, there's a lot of companies out there that offer a broad spectrum of opportunities for you to grow in. So don't take that degree and accept a defeatist attitude. Don't take that certificate that you gained in school and say it doesn't mean anything because I'm so underemployed and I'm working 3-4 jobs just to make up for one job. Don't give up with that. Know that even though we have these statistics out here, and I, you know, I said I wasn't going to overwhelm you with the statistics, and I'm not. I just want to show, you know, give you a few things. First off, I think just from listening to the news, you know that we're almost at 10% unemployment. We're at 9.1-something% of unemployment in America. Okay, now, as I said to you before, we're not just talking about America being unemployed. The unemployment situation is worldwide. Okay, we are one country, and because we are regarded still in most sectors as one of the most progressive countries, the greatest country in the world and all of that, because of our economic freedom, okay, and our political freedoms. But there are other places around the world that are also unemployed. And the statistics on them run about the same as we're dealing with in America, even higher. So if we're talking about almost 10%, it's right there in the 10 to 12% in other parts of the world. So you can imagine what that looks like. If you took 100 people, you know, you're talking a very, very, or take 1,000 people, you're talking about 100 of them with unemployment issues, okay, or temporary job issues. And that goes into the underemployed. Now, sit down for this figure, because this really rocked my boat a little bit. 1 in 5 people are underemployed in the United States. So now, grant you, if we are supposedly one of the leading nations, and 1 in every 5 people that are that we look at on the street, walking down the street, one of them is underemployed, that's a tremendous number. Don't you agree, Professor Astete?
Of course, yes.
Okay. And one of the things that I'm asking for, because I talked about this in last week's show, I did some research on students and teachers who are underemployed or unemployed. And what I found is that most teachers are not suffering from unemployment, which is interesting. They're not unemployed. Most of them are underemployed, if they even fall into that figure. And that means that they took on a job as a teacher, and it's under the salary that they expected. And so we have school teachers now that are working and doing jobs that they never thought they'd do, in addition to teaching. You know, I know one personally who is working at one of the fast food restaurants in the evening and teaching during the day just to make ends meet. You know, these are jobs that we usually took on when there was, like, if Christmas time was coming around and you wanted to have some extra money, you know, for Christmas or whatever, you know, or a trip, then you took on an extra job. But now people are taking on these extra jobs because they actually need them to put food, basic stuff, right on the table. So this becomes a real downtime, not only for that person that's dealing with the underemployment, but also for the family members and anyone they interact with. Now this is what I'm coming to. Teachers, professors out there, listen carefully. Just because you may not be dealing with the underemployment issue yourself, certainly not the unemployment issue, your students are. That's where the numbers are coming in. The numbers are coming in from those day-to-day people that come in and out of your classroom that may have started the semester with great expectations. Oh, I'll take a Tuesday and Thursday class from, 10 in the morning to 12 at noon. And then all of a sudden, their job either downsizes or terminates them or closes down. Now they're out of work. Now they must find another job. And usually that's where the underemployment comes in. Now they run to you, professor. They run to you, teacher. And as I say teacher, because in high school, we have many high school students that are working to support their families, their own children, and or their family members. So they come to you and they say, listen, I can't be here every day for the class because I have to work, or I might be running a little late when I come in. I beg you, I plead with you to show a little empathy here. Now, I know just as well as you do that it's important to have good attendance and to be there. But in this downtime period, we all have to work together as a resource for each other. And I see that someone on chat is agreeing with that. Thank you very much. That's right. We all have to work together in order to to help each other to get through this period. So thank you for that comment. I only have a guest number on here, 2811. Thank you very much for that. But here's the point. If we all work together and we have a little empathy for each other, I mean, this is just a humane thing. Don't you agree?
Yes, of course.
Humanity. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, yeah. Actually, you know, it seems that I'm hearing everywhere this.
Can you speak up a little bit? Can you speak up a little bit more?
As our world becomes more in dire need of so many solutions,
mm-hmm.
Including wars and natural catastrophes, the only way we're going to be able to survive, as globally speaking, is through cooperation, not only at the international level, but also at the community level and at the very local level, our home and neighbors. We have to start looking at the world in a different way now,
mm-hmm.
not so much selfishness anymore.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not, that attitude, I was sharing something earlier about attitude is everything, and I'm going to come back to that at the close of the show. But one of the things that I wanted to say about the attitude, about having that positive attitude, is sharing with others is part of having a positive attitude. To be able to have empathy in this downtime, we all have to pull together. And I'm hearing, unfortunately, I am hearing too many times students telling me that another professor is not being lenient with them, and they have a horrible schedule because they're trying to juggle two or three jobs at the same time. Where one professor actually told a student, "Well, you should have thought of that at the beginning before you registered." Well, she wasn't in this position when she registered. And so now that she's in this position and she has two children and she's got to feed them, that becomes a priority. So now she's got to work two jobs, and that includes her weekends too. So as we push for students, especially at the college level, whether they have a disability, a visible disability or not, we say to you, you have to put in at least 2 hours of study for every 1 credit hour that you carry. So think about that. So that means that if you're carrying a 3-credit course, that you need at least 6 hours of study a week. Now, if you add that in to the fact that many people register for classes, and they register usually for 2 or 3 classes, so that means that they have to have at least 18 hours a week of study time. That's a part-time job in itself. And maybe at the beginning of registering for college, their employment situation was very different. And then into the middle of the semester, they become either unemployed or among the underemployed and have to pick up an extra job. So now their study time is cut down. And their time for their family, most importantly, is cut down. And they're struggling. And the last thing in the world that they need is an uncaring professor, an uncaring teacher, that maybe you're not underemployed or unemployed, but you're looking into the eyes of someone who's dealing with some horrendous things at home. Compassion is important during this time, during this downtime. So please, I caution everyone, even parents of adult children out there that may be coming to you for a little help, maybe with a daycare situation, to pick up a child so that person doesn't have to run back and forth every day, sometimes to have a little dinner ready for someone. It doesn't hurt to have a little resource there, okay? And you can do that for someone. Do you agree?
Yes.
Maria, do you agree with that sometimes we can just help someone that may be in a situation where you know, we could just, you know, take over some groceries or something, or help them out.
Yes.
Do you know anybody?
Not at the moment, but yes, we're supposed to help each other. Yes.
Yeah.
When we have a need, yes, we're supposed to be there for. But sometimes, Ms. Apple, sometimes unfortunately, we have a lot of people because some people are like that, and I'm finding myself because of what I'm doing, a little bit what I'm doing. I'm not gonna say a lot of things that I have seen already in what I'm doing, trying to do self-aware. But
yeah.
You find, unfortunately, you find a lot of people that are very selfish, are very into themselves, and they only want to make money for me, and they don't think about nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
You run with people like that in this life.
That's right. And there are a lot of people like that. And I would like you to take a little time. Would you mind sharing with our listening audience some of the physical challenges that you have, even emotional challenges, whatever you'd like to share, and that and how you still are going forward, not only to continue learning how to interpret, but also to build your own business? Can you explain a little bit so someone can maybe find some encouragement in this? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. One moment. Something happened here. Hold on.
Yeah, I know.
Hello, can you hear me? Professor Stephanie,
yes.
Are you there?
Hey, yes,
yeah,
I can hear you, but there's
okay.
Some noise, the background noise.
Yes, it sounds like the show is actually going on in the background here, and I'm
trying to... Uh-huh, it is.
Okay, it just stopped. Okay, I don't know what that was. I'm sorry for that feedback, listeners. Okay, we have another caller online. Before you begin, Maria, because I'd like you to, I'll repeat that question. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. This is a 602 number, 418.
Yes. Good morning. This is Dr. Beverly Polmitz, and good morning to all, and I'm enjoying the conversation. And I've definitely experienced some of the issues that we're discussing here. Please carry on.
Wow. Okay, we'll have to come back to you about this underemployment issue. Maria was just explaining to us, getting ready to explain to us how she's dealing with the physical, emotional challenges of her own abilities, and how she's wrapping it up and still rolling up her sleeves and going forward, not only to learn some interpretation skills, but also to build her Tupperware business. Go ahead, Maria.
Okay, so I got into this business with a friend of mine, and we started in August, and I did some sales on September, for the month of September. Okay, that little money that I made, it went
say
to
that again,
my
Maria. Take your time. Say that again for us, please.
Okay. The little money that I made, it went to my SRP because they're not going to pay SRP for us anymore. So the little money that I made, I went to SRP, and the rest went to all the things that I needed for myself.
Did you
and
say
now,
SSD? Did you say SSD?
No, SRP.
SRP. Your electricity bill. Yeah, because there's a lot of listeners out there that don't live in Arizona, so that's why, that's the only reason I interrupted you, so that we could understand a little bit about that. Okay, so your electric bill, okay.
So, and then the rest of the money went to all the things that I needed for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to do more sales, and the thing is that when you make money in this company, you have to buy your own supplies,
right?
So
mm-hmm.
You have to sell and then invest, you know, to buy the books, to buy the orders where people can order the stuff for you. So you have to buy everything. So I'm back to the square one again. I have to do more sales and then buy more supplies so I can start, you know, making a little more money. But, we don't, like, the person that's helping me, we don't have a car. So we have to go in the buses. Sometimes we take like maybe once a week we go and make some copies with for the like little flyers that we make and we go kind of in the bus and we go door to door and give them away. Or what I did the other day, I went to Goodwill and I was outside and I gave some of the flyers away from the people that were coming to Goodwill. I gave them away. Mm. And hoping that they would call me, hoping that, you know, they'll call me and buy Tupperware.
Well,
that's what I'm doing.
Maria, what do you suggest? There are some people out there that have multiple sclerosis, to cerebral palsy, to all kinds of different physical disabilities and emotional disabilities. And they say, just like I mentioned earlier in the show, I asked someone the other day, what do you do? And he said to me, I'm disabled, as if that means that I don't do anything. You know?
No, I work with what I have. So they have to work with what they have. Like, you know, in my case, sometimes the English doesn't really help me that much because I don't know English that great. And sometimes, I have to work with what I have, with my Spanish, with a little bit English, with, you know, with, even if I have to walk in my wheelchair in the bus, and with the help that I have, there's somebody that is helping me. So you have to work with what you got. And that's what I'm working with what I got, with what I know what to do. I have a mouth, I can talk.
Wait a minute, Maria. Are you telling our listening audience out there that not only are you have a challenge or you're dealing with the issue of learning English more appropriately, and then on top of that, you're getting on a bus with a wheelchair and building a business. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, that's what I'm doing, yeah.
Well, I hope that message, and I applaud you, okay, I applaud you for that, and I hope that message gets out there, especially to that gentleman who said to me, what do you mean, what do? I'm disabled, because he needs to hear that there are people out there that have that do tremendous things with getting around in a wheelchair, and they still keep going. Okay, take a licking and keep on ticking. Okay, right, Dr. Polnitz? Dr. Polnitz, are you still there?
Yes, okay. I am.
And you know what, Maria? It's really interesting. Dr. Polnitz is on the board for White Apple Institute. You're on the student advisory board. And it's really interesting. You're on the line with someone who later on after the call, you guys might want to connect. Because this is a person, if you want to learn how to network and build your business, this is her specialty outside of her educational consulting that she does, that she also helps people to network and build their businesses. So this might be a great resource for you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Polnitz, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I would just like to say that I am very, very, very impressed and pleased to hear the things that Maria is doing. To have that type of determination to get out there and make it happen, she's going to go far, and I'd be very willing to help her in any way that I possibly can.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And I hope that there's some folks out there that I also know who are listening to this and will benefit from Maria's experience. Because there's a number of individuals who feel that they don't even have a disability. They don't have the willingness to get out and do anything to make their life better. They're sitting back depending upon the system to take care of them. That's not going to work. Maria, I applaud you. Thank you so much for doing that.
And you know,
thank you,
Dr. Paul,
you're an inspiration.
Yes, thank you. Yes, one of the things that we want to and you're right. You know, it depends on the severity of a disability, because all of us have some type of our ability in one way or another. We may have to find alternatives for the abilities that we have, which is really what disability is all about. And that's what she's done, along with many, many other people, is found that alternative of saying, okay, I my one leg might not work, or my one arm might not work, but I find a way to find the strength in my other limbs and my other abilities. And that's what we encourage people to do through White Apple Institute, is to look at what they can do with what they have, okay? And so thank you so much, Maria, for even reinforcing that thought. What you have is what you have to deal with, okay? Attitude is everything, and we applaud you for the fantastic attitude that you have. Okay, we've got about 9 minutes left on the show, and I wanted to make sure that we let's check our chat, and anybody else want to add a comment? We have one chat that came in, and it says it's from Mentor Man, which is Nazim Rashid, the one our previous co-host and loyal supporter and board member for White Apple Institute, has sent in a chat, and it says, "Yay for Maria. My happy news is about new discoveries in the areas of robotic limbs controlled by thought." So he has a segment on his show that follows our show called The Mentor Man, or Reconnected, which is the name of his book. And I encourage you to look at Amazon.com and order that book. It's a great book. It talks about how we can build a virtual family in our minds and get rid of some of the junk feelings that we have about our childhood. So we thank you, Nazim, for your comments on the show this morning. And we will definitely encourage listeners. I know I'll be on your show listening after we finish here with the student-to-teacher segment. All right. We have about 7 minutes left, and I just want to say something very, very important about the 5 P's for success. I just want to run that by you again, in addition to the attitude is everything issue. And the 5 P's that we talked about some time ago were dealing with the prosperity issue. Prosperity and pay and having a positive attitude and perseverance, able to hang in there. And all of that blends in with attitude. Let me just recap a little bit on this attitude is everything. I reemphasize that attitude makes a difference every hour and every day in everything that you do, listeners, for your entire life. So remember that for your entire life. You could have an attitude today that could actually play out and come back to you later on down in your life. So be careful of the way you display, you exhibit your attitude out there among others, and especially with potential employers. And remember that example that we were talking about, those few examples where we talked about someone working as a bagger, a grocery bagger in a market, or even working as a caregiver, and maybe they're in an underemployed situation, but there may be resources right in front of you that you may be overlooking, okay? And that attitude will play a big part in how you look at those resources around you. So make sure that in everything you do for your entire life, that your attitude makes a difference every hour, and what you get out of each thing you do will equal the attitude you have when you do it. Anything you do with a positive attitude will work for you. Anything that you do with a negative attitude will work against you. If you have a positive attitude, you are looking for ways to solve. Be part of that solution. You are letting go. Remember that. Remember that, Maria, letting go of the things over which you have no control. We teach our students at White Apple Institute that all the time. If you have no control over it, you need to just let it go, because there's no sense in spending a lot of energy on something you have no control over. Find the things that you can be part of the solution on. You can develop a positive attitude, my friends, by emphasizing the good, by being tough-minded, toughen up, and by refusing, just refuse defeat. But emphasize that good. I mean, go out there, teachers, professors, go out there and greet your students with an attitude of compassion. Okay, you need to change your schedule because of your work, your school schedule, because of your work schedule. Let me work with you. As long as they are willing to do the work, let's not cut them off. Let's not push them into that dropout, burnout category. Let's work with each other. Patience, peace, positivity, look at your pay and don't be disgruntled about it, and perseverance. Those are the five P's from your dear Professor Applewhite, okay? All right, any other comments before we close here? Dr. Polnitz, you have something to add on to our show before we close?
Well, I would just like to add that I'm very impressed with the show as it is, and I have to encourage everyone to continue moving forward. And I love the saying that, you know, a lot of times we get knocked down, and a lot of times we don't want to get up. We just want to lay there.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can look up, you can get up. So get up and get it done.
You know, you had mentioned earlier, and I don't want to ignore that comment you made when you first came on. You said that you personally are dealing with some underemployment issues. I mean, you're a doctor. What are you talking about?
Well, I was pretty much thinking about two different situations in having a doctorate degree,
mm-hmm.
that positions that I would apply for,
mm-hmm.
or called to come by. And those would be, you know, in education and in teaching. And I find that I sometimes look at other positions that are less than the qualifications requiring a doctorate degree. That was one side of it. The other side is I was looking at an individual who is, her only employment that she can find is to work for this company, which I won't name any names,
mm-hmm.
or 3 months at a time. She works 3 months, then they lay her off for 3 months, and then she can come back for 3 months so that they can avoid paying benefits. This person has a young baby. She needs to work. She's a graduate, and she's going to college, trying to go. But because of the job needs, she had to sit out this semester in college.
Of course.
I think it's atrocious for these huge conglomerates to do such a thing to people.
Yes. And I know one right now that hires people as independent contractors, which means that they don't have to pay them for overtime or any benefits or whatever because of the way things are going. You know, I just like to close with Professor's comment on the fact that the empathy that professors have to have. Do you agree with that?
Yes, of course. Professor Applewhite and Dr. Polnitz. Yes, this is part of the character of being a teacher.
The character? Okay.
Yes, part of the character of being a teacher.
Really? Okay, I like the way you said
that. We have to go down to the level where the student is, not only as far as academic or intellectually or background knowledge, but also to be able to facilitate their learning according to their particular circumstances in life.
Well, thank you so much for that, and we hope that you join us for the next few segments or next weeks on labels and not being sucked in or fooled by the labels that you think that people are wearing or that they project out there. This is Professor Applewhite saying thank you for another great week on the Student to Teacher Internet Radio Show. Join us next week, and thank you, Nazim Marquis, for this great music on River Nile. That's an album that's also available on Amazon. Okay? Much love.